back to where we were at in this thing of feminism and dealing with it, the work and sphere of true womanhood. These are historical articles that were written 150 years ago for the most part. Dealing with this thing of feminism that was coming, it was there, it was on the rise, and they were trying to combat it back then. They realized what was happening, and they tried to combat it and tried to preach the Bible to them and everything else. Let your women keep silence of the church. We've already went over these verses, but as a precedent, we read them again just so you understand that this is not just an historical thing. This is biblically accurate, and it's necessary. It's necessary to understand the divine order of the sexes. It's necessary to keep God's order. God is not pleased when we get out of His order. For some reason, we think that we have the right to get out of God's order. That's really what the problem is. In the church, in the country, in our homes, it's God's order is not respected. I'm going to talk about that today when we talk about honoring the father and the mother. Our sermon this morning in dealing with honoring the father and the mother. We're going to deal with that, some of that, and look at that, and look at that order, that divine order that God set down, that we, in our audacity, believe that we have the right to dismiss and say it's not of any importance any longer. The Jews did that too, by the way. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to show you that in Scripture, give you some contextual understanding. Now, tonight I'm preaching a message to you on entanglement, about a soldier in Ephesians chapter 4. I believe it's verse number 13, but I can't remember exactly. But that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. And that's part A of that verse. But I'm going to preach on that to you and talk to you about the entanglement issue and how we are entangled. You know, and God's people are entangled with the world, and we're entangled with, and there's a war. You know, and we need to understand there's a war, and for some reason we don't get that. All right, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it's a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Have not we instances of their praying in public assembly? There are no instances of in the New Testament which can be legitimately thus interpreted. I have no doubt that women prayed, as was Hannah when she prayed in the temple for the birth of Samuel. If it was an audible prayer, it was not the leading of the public assembly, as it is. Is it not said in Acts 1:14, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and etc. We understand that as we look at that verse, the women were there, but it doesn't say that they led the assembly. A lot of the speculation that it's okay for women to lead in the assembly, the church, wherever, is all out of where Scripture, they pull that out of silence. Where Scripture doesn't speak specifically on something, they make a doctrine out of that. Well, God's very specific on His divine order. He gives you the reason why He set that order down. I know this is referred to as proof that a woman prayed in public, but does it say that the woman prayed? Does the construction of the sentence compel us to suppose that they did? All that can be said is that the women were present when the prayers and supplications were being offered. These things are denied her, as well as the political prerogatives to which some aspire, because it is an assumption of power and authority and disqualifies her for her tender, sweet, and legitimate work. This is always the argument that I've made with people as they try to boast a woman politician, a woman leader of any sort. I've always said to them, how does that coincide with the meek and quiet spirit that they are supposed to have? That tender, that soft, that in-the-background spirit that God wanted them to have. It doesn't fit. When you see a Michelle Bachmann or a Hillary Clinton or somebody like that out there railing and screaming and everything else, to me it just looks like a hysterical woman. Whether what she's saying is accurate or not, it's out of place. Now, most men that really believe in manhood, I mean, that they really believe that they're a man, that God made them one, they don't like it when a woman screams at them. Of course, I thank God my wife's never screamed at me. I've had women scream at me before. I've had a lot of women scream at me before. But usually it's over the phone or something. But anyway, I've had it happen. It's not fun. I don't like it. It just kind of... It makes a man. Why do you think the Bible talks about a guy would rather be, you know, I'd rather be on a rooftop than in a house with a brawling woman? There's nothing worse than an argumentative woman. well, a lady might say a bullheaded man. Might be true, but I could give her that. That is probably true. But anyway, the point is that it's not the nature that God gave them. It's not the design that they're to have. It's not the design that they're to have. Now, anyway, then what is her sphere and work? Let us not be turned aside from this by a spacious plea of utility. The king, so far as we know, might have discharged the functions of the priesthood as advantageously and profitably, so far as the ability was concerned, as the priests themselves. But God did not suffer them to officiate or interfere. If unconsecrated hands so much as touched the ark, or wickedly presumed to minister at the altar, they were visited with his displeasure. God assigns offices and ministries and says who shall fill them. And woe be unto the hand which dares to ignore them. The question is not what does woman's talent and ability fit for her. That's not the question. The question isn't whether she's capable of doing it. That's not the question. There are many capable women of doing a lot of things that a man, that some men are not capable of doing. That is very true. The question of utility, as interpreted by us, is not to decide her work. The first question is, what is her divinely appointed sphere and work? That's the question. Stop answering questions that are not applicable in this argument. And that's what comes up. The questions that are not applicable comes up in the feminist movement. Well, are you saying she's not capable? It's beside the point. It doesn't matter if she's capable of doing it. It matters, did God divinely appoint that for her? Is that the sphere of work that God gave her? It isn't a matter of whether she is capable of doing it or not. It doesn't matter. What matters is that the divine place that God put her? Then when we look at that, then we start to understand, oh, okay, well, we have to ask the right question then. Just like you do for a husband. So what do you mean? Well, did God divinely appoint a man to have a baby? I think you would say no. I hope you would say no. If you didn't say no, I think there's something wrong with you. Right? Wasn't God's divinely appointed? Did he divinely appoint him to mother a child? No. Now, some men have had to be the father and the mother of their child. Now, they can't be a mother. We understand that, really. But they've had to be. Some ladies have had to be the only parent that a child has. They've had to raise a child with no father and do the best they could. But it's not being a father, is it? It can't be. So the right question to ask is, has it been divinely appointed by God? In this is her ministry. In this she will find ample scope for the exercise of her most exalted ability, and in this is to be secured her usefulness. If we have not greatly mistaken the elements of womanhood, we cannot greatly err in designing her sphere and work. We say this with unquestioned faith in our decision that her sphere is one of dependence and submission to the man. And in this dependence and submission exist some of her profoundest and sweetest attractions and noblest characteristics. This is no more theory, it is doctrine. Sound, practical, biblical. She was never made to wrestle with the rough forces of nature. She was never made for war, nor commerce, nor agriculture. In these fields, man alone is at home. She wasn't made for that. Sorry. Hey, guess what? God still believes a man ought to provide for his family. I know the world gives you a whole different scenario and says, well, no, both can do it. I didn't say both weren't able to do it. Did you catch that? Right. Since when did we change to this pragmatic thinking where, okay, well, somebody can do it, that means they should do it. Oh, really? I know a lot of people that can preach, that can speak, that have no business doing it. Amen? They have the ability, but they weren't divinely called by God to do it. Does that make sense? I hope it does. I know it's one of those rough truths that we don't like to touch on. Her delicate physical constitution teaches us this. Instead of quarreling with this arrangement, it should be accepted gladly and gracefully because it is divine. The fingers of him who has placed yonder... It should be accepted gladly and gracefully because it is divine. The fingers of him who has placed yonder stars in their position has placed woman in hers. For her to leave it, in the moral system, she would create as much disorder and collision as is one of those stars should drop out of its appointed course and rush wildly and ungovernably through the heavenly system. Has that not happened? Look at this world now when the lady was pulled away from the home. Look at it! Can we say that our families are better off now? Why? Because you removed the woman from where God had placed her, divinely. And you said, God, we know better than you do about order, about the proper order. This woman is able to do this, so therefore she should do it. So we've changed the argument. No one ever said a woman wasn't able to do things. Whoever said that? Oh, wait a minute. I think if I go back to the garden, I seem to remember a serpent that came up and started talking to Eve. And he said to her, he appealed to her. And what did he say? Oh, you'll be as gods. You don't want to stay here underneath this man. God just knows that in the day you eat thereof, you'll be as gods. God just wants to keep you down. The man wants to oppress you. He wants to keep you down. Eve, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay in that order, Eve. You can leave that order anytime. You're just as good as it. You have the ability, Eve. Adam never told her she didn't have the ability. God never told her she didn't have the ability. The ability is not the argument. It is today, though, isn't it? The ability becomes, oh, so you're belittling women. No, I'm not belittling women. I just believe God placed her, and that's where she should be. Well, I don't like that. Neither did Eve. Look what damage it caused. Better start liking it. You're not liking it. It has nothing to do with it being right or not. That's just like I tell my kid, well, I don't want to do that. I don't care if you want to do it or not. You're going to do it. I didn't ask you if you wanted to. I told you to do it. God looks down. He said, I told you this is the order. I instructed you. I gave you clear instructions. But we got it all figured out. Just look at the world. Isn't it a grand place? The one that handles our foreign affairs that travels around is a woman. Goes from nation to nation. Who knows what kind of destruction is going on there? Well, we know. But the high princess of the New World Order is just trucking around the world. Selling us down the river like her husband did. But that's a sexist comment. You can call it whatever you want to. I really don't care about your labels. This week I've been called a Baptist bride or a work salvationist. Oh, let me see what else. Well, I won't say that. A few other things and a whole lot of things I've been called. Really, you know what? I just look and say, you know what? You can label me and call me anything you want, but it really doesn't change the argument any. What's right is right and wrong is wrong. What is God's order is God's order. Whether you don't like it or not, that's God's order. Think not that it is in my heart to put a woman in this position to dishonor her. No, the most attractive object to me in the world is a pure, beautiful, intelligent, and well-bred woman. It is very attractive, by the way. For a woman to be a mother and to stay home with her children and to raise them, it's very attractive. And by the way, just in case, lady, you haven't figured it out, if your husband doesn't treat you like a lady, are you acting like one? Because if you act like a barbarian and a man, he's not going to treat you like a lady. He should, but he's not going to. This is true. I mean, I'm assuming that Brother Hildebrand, you have daughters and you're teaching them to be wives someday. Well, your wife is. But you're teaching them to be wives. Is there something wrong with that? Well, they need a degree and everything else, something to fall back on. There you go. Hey, you stole it, man. That's exactly what I was going to say. I was just going to say, how about God? How about God? Now, surely you don't believe that if something happened to you, Brother Hildebrand, that God could take care of them. Surely you don't believe the God of all heaven could take care of your children, do you? I think so. Proven over and over and over again. See, the problem is that we have gotten so far out of biblical order that when you put things in biblical order, it looks kooky and weird to people. To say that they would come and the church would gather around them and help them and care for them and their families would until something were, you know, until God would send somebody into their life. Oh, God couldn't send somebody into my life. With faith like that, He probably won't. Remember, it's faith that pleases God. But then again, we haven't had to lean on God for a long time, so what are we worried about? We've had our jobs, our bank accounts, the U.S. economy, the dollar, everything else. We don't need God. We're stuck in Laodicea. We got everything we need. We got the bodies, the bucks, and the buildings. We're good. We don't need God. We got jobs. We've got careers. We've got money coming in. We don't need God. As an element in society, it is she who invites into finest demonstration all that is good in the heart and shames into secrecy and silence all that is unbecoming and despicable. It is for this reason that a woman is a very sacred thing to me, for this very dependence and submissive nature with which she has been divinely endowed and which some so heartily spurn is one of the greatest blessings. It is because of this that the heart of a woman bows so quickly and so sweetly to the will of God and endures so meekly and uncomplainingly the troubles and sorrows of the sin-stricken world. It is here she mounts up on heavenly pinions and soars beyond the reach of man because the feeling of dependence is native in her bosom. It is easier, humanly speaking, for her to humble herself for the kingdom of heaven and easier to bear the yoke of a heavenly submission to the will of Him who is supreme. It is because of this her heart blooms more sweetly and beautifully with the graces of the kingdom of heaven. It was not a woman who denied her master. The woman never forsook him in the hour of his deepest trial. The woman first went to the sepulcher and first bore the joyful news to his disciples of his triumphant resurrection from the grave, and since that time, women have constituted the greatest majority of his followers. That's very true, by the way. If you go to local churches, when you start a church, there are more women that come to that church than men that come to that church. Hands down, every time, easily proven, more women will flock to that church than a man will any day. Happens all the time. Why? More sensitive to the Spirit. More sensitive, more dependent, used to being dependent. Those that are dependent on God anyway. I may be wrong, but I cannot resist the conclusion that God has formed woman so that in her nature the world might have a practical exhibitor of the sweetness and more tender graces of the Holy Spirit. She more readily embraces religion and more gracefully practices its duties. This is not because she is weak and simple, but because she is formed for faith and trust, and her position of dependence and submission has schooled her to it. Man is independent. His stern duties call for a sterner nature. His conflict with the outer world makes him hard, suspicious, and rebellious. He is accustomed to command, not to obey, and because of this, he resists more stoutly the humbling influences of the grace of God. That's very true. That is good, isn't it? I didn't write it, brother. I wish I would have, but it's good. But I'm smart enough to read it, amen. If women's position puts her second to man, there is no doubt it puts her second upon that side which is nearest heaven and the angels. Will she spurn such a blessing and contend for the pride of independence? If she will have it, she must pay its price, which is a position in the outer ranks with a hill of difficulty erected by her own hand between herself and the kingdom. God has made her nature a loving, dependent, submissive, trustful one, that in her especially might be exhibited the tenderest and sweetest graces of the Spirit of God. That it is her mission to soften and elevate men and beautify the earth with the graces of heaven. How grandly sublime is her mission! Sublime is her mission. What higher calling could a poor mortal desire? God forbid that it should be marred by her hands by a step outside of her sphere. In this work she leads the van. Men follow on. I hold up before her this truth, which I pray she may never forget, that God, through her dependence, has conferred upon her special blessings and privileges. May she never trample such a crown of excellence in the dust. This is her lever by which she may overcome the world. Now let me say that to women, something she has often heard. I emphasize the fact your workshop is the home. You ready? This is an old, old story, very true, but that our women could never forget it. Is she to do nothing but nurse babies? This is the sneering reply to our position, and it is presumptuously supposed to be argument. Those who use it and teach others to use it spit in the face of God. And lady, if your heart right now, you're saying, well, I'm capable of doing more than having children, than raising children. I didn't ask you if you're capable of it. No one questions your ability to do something. That's not the argument. You're not allowed to change the argument. The argument is God divinely puts you to do something else, place you here to do something else. It's not the argument whether you're capable. I think you're more than capable. Didn't ask you if you're capable. Didn't even question your capability. Yeah? There's no question of your ability. That's not the right question to ask. Again, we're so far removed from this argument and the understanding of this argument that we're swayed, that it sounds like a barbarian preaching to you something that is just sexist. Oh, just sexist. If half the people you know heard what I'm doing saying to you right now, their eyes would bulge out of their head. Now, I'd like to see it, so play it for them. But I would like to see it, because I would like them to challenge the biblical authority of it. See, I'm not interested in whether something offends you or not. I'm interested in whether it's right or wrong. See, because when you get down to it, somebody's going to admit to you, I don't care if it's right, I'm going to do what I want. Well, that's all you had to say. All you had to do is tell me you're going to do what you wanted, and you don't care about God's authority. You didn't have to. You don't have to yell at me, get mad at me, scream at me, cuss at me. You don't have to do all that. Just tell me you don't care about God's authority, and we're done. And I can understand where you're coming from, and you can understand where I'm coming from. I believe in God's authority, and you could care less about it. In the spirit of Eve, of course. It's very simple. You know, when you reveal truth, and it's pure truth, it's very hard to take sometimes. It is. I say that God has given His creatures here no higher, no grander work than to nurse a child. If there is a more solemn, more responsible, more honorable, and more glorifying work committed to the care of mortals, I know not where it is to be found. Yes, woman may thank God and rejoice in the fact that she has been chosen to nurse babies. I know this will be sneered at by some, but in view of the solemn work and tremendously solemn interests at stake, I pray our sisters to forget this fact. Home is a woman's workshop. A king never sat upon a more royal throne than does she in the home. The high priest never ministered in things more holy, more consecrated than does she. No work is more far-reaching and permanent than hers. Oh, it is upon this point we feel our impotency. Our minds and souls swell with thoughts language is too poor to express. Our homes, our society, our state will be very much as women are. Wow, look at that. A certain eminent writer has said, and said truly, it is in the little communities which we call American homes that the hope of America rests. It is here that subordination to wholesome restraint and respect for law are inculcated. It is where it's taught. It starts in the home. You teach it. Well, we'll get to that the next hour. It all kind of goes together. But in the honoring of our father and our mother. We'll deal with that and look at that. But understand, it starts in the home. You shape the next president of the United States. You shape the next preacher of the United States. You shape the preachers and the teachers, the evangelists and the people that will go out and reach the world for Christ. You shape the congressmen in the country. Don't you get that? Why would you leave that divine position that God has given you to help the nation, to help your country, help your homes, help your children to go out and go after something the devil has offered you? Why would you do that? Why would you fall for such a stupid trick? Why would you leave the importance that God gave you? Yes, I'm screaming, I look hysterical, because I am. Why would you leave the place that God gave you to do that? You are the one that influences them. You are the one that instills that biblical character to them. But hey, no, let's pass it off to the daycare attendant. Let them do it. They're not going to do it. They're not going to teach them. They're not going to mold them and make their lives different. They're not going to do that. It's your job to do it. But sit there and blame it on the youth pastor, which you shouldn't have anyway, because he's nothing but a nut half the time anyway, and blame it on everybody else. When woman, it is your job, and you're going to stand before God, and you're going to answer for it. Because those are the lives that you were to shape. But hey, tell God, listen, God, I've got my career, I've got my own order of doing things, I've got my own way, I've got my own importance, I want to be in the spotlight. Yes, Eve, you'll be as a God, knowing good and evil. You'll be just like a God, Eve. Go ahead. Every time you want to do that, you think about these words and let them echo into your heart. You'll be as God's, Eve. Don't follow God's order, Eve. Don't follow it. Don't worry about it, Eve. No big deal. Do what you want to do, Eve. Now, why do you suppose he wanted to get Eve out of there? Why do you suppose the devil wanted you to compete with a man? Well, because if there's no unity and all you're doing is competing all the time, then your children get raised like hell, like we have now. And you forget about the most important thing that God ever gave you, that child to take care of. The most important thing that God ever gave you. But you say, God, listen, there's greener grass on the other side. My career is important. Everything else is important. So when we stopped, when mothers stopped realizing their divine place of shaping the next generation, the devil said, I'll shape it for you. And look how he shaped it. Isn't it wonderful? Aren't we doing great? We have a generation of devils. Isn't it wonderful? When that stopped being important, that little child stopped being important to a lady, all hell broke loose in this world. That was no longer important. That child was no longer important. Oh, not important anymore. I can place them with daycare. I can place them with somebody else can watch them. I got to go make money. Then buy a smaller house. Live cheaper. Clip more coupons. Don't eat it. Go shoot a deer. Or two, or three. It's one. Sorry. Shut up, Lee. Just do something. Pray. Have faith. Trust God. But don't take your wife out of the home. And don't develop your family and make your children grow up and think, well, I'm second class to my parents. I'm really not that. I'm not even important enough to my mother for her to stay home and take care of me. What do you think about that? I hope you don't like it. I hope it sticks in your craw tonight. I hope you don't like it. We'll starve. No, we can all lose a few pounds. It won't kill us. No, it might kill Luke. But anyway. And maybe Roy. He's looking a little thin. But anyway. Guess what? It won't kill us. You'd be surprised what you can do when you think about it. Brother Hildebrand, his family lived off of, what was it, powdered fries or something? I don't know. Bisquick powder or something. I don't know what in the world they ate. I watched a video of it, but I never could understand what they were eating. They said something about some Bisquick fries they stuck in water and it went bloop and they ate it. I don't know what it was. But anyway, they lived off of it. They lived off of it for like 4 years or something like that. I mean, and he said he stole it from a warehouse or something. I don't know where he got it from. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But he got a bunch of powder from a warehouse, stuck some water in it, swelled up, they fried it in a pan, they ate it every day. And they all worked together and lived like a family and paid off all their debt.
Amen.
And you know what? They're all still here. They're all still living. You know what they learned from it? A unit. A family unit. We stick together. Did Mrs. Hildebrand start a career? Did she leave and go? She didn't. Well, where was she at? Oh, okay, okay. And they did what? And you didn't starve to death? He didn't get any prettier from it. I'm not saying that, but I mean, he didn't starve to death, right? You didn't starve to death? No, he didn't. So you know what? Maybe you don't get to have the frills and thrills of life. Maybe you don't. But are those really important?
No.
You know what I found? If you honor God, you get a lot of extras. And I mean, those things all come. They really do. I don't know anybody that could say they're deprived of these things that people say you will be deprived from. Now, maybe you can't go get the $400,000 mortgage like a moron and get yourself in so much debt that you can't even breathe. And then you say, my wife has to work. No, your wife doesn't have to work. You're stupid because you took out a bill. I'm sorry, that's not very nice. But you took out a house that you could not afford and you should never have gotten, and it puts you in so far a debt that you can't even breathe. I'm not talking about a normal house payment just to get a house. I mean, around here, you have to get a house for, if you can find a house even in this terrible market for $200,000. I mean, it's hard. It's not easy right now to find a good house. I mean, we got one cheap for $130,000. But I purposed it in my heart, and I said this: I'm not going to buy something that I cannot afford. Why? Well, because I watched everybody around me do it, and I thought, man, everybody's like, you got to buy a house, man. Why? Because you just got to have one. Okay, and then I'm seeing their $1,800 payments come up, and I'm like, no, I don't want one that bad. That makes me sick. That hurts my stomach right there. I don't want to think about that on the first, or leading up to the first, or when I'm sleeping at night, or when I'm puking in the toilet because I can't pay it. I don't really want to think about that. Well, you're going to have to send your wife to work. Well, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not. Hey, I'm going long. Great. I'm used to that. No, I'm not. Why? I don't want to live that life. I don't want my wife away from my children. Because I don't see any biblical mandate for it. And I'm so tired of fundamentalist pastors that are too timid to preach on it. You know what's really interesting to me? Two things happened in the ministry, and I don't agree with either one of them. Let me give you lesson number one here. Hope you're paying attention. Number one, having my wife put me through the ministry. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, honey, you go get a job and I'll be the pastor. No. Why? Because I'm a man. And no, I can't do it. And what it does to a woman, it swells her up to look like Mr. Clean. And it's not a good idea. When you do it, she comes out looking like my dad. No, she comes home and she flexes her muscles. And I'm telling you, you may not believe me, but I've been around it. I've counseled it. I've watched it. There's a family torn apart because of it. They're no longer in this church. Their family is like this. And I warned them, and I warned them, and I warned them, and I warned them, and they didn't listen to me. And they looked at me like you guys look at me when I act crazy up here, and I say things like that. But you didn't sit and look at those children. You didn't see that family split apart because they didn't follow the biblical order. Because they said, well, when they make such and such money, then I'll come home. Well, such and such money came, and nobody came home. Why? Because we heap unto ourselves more and more and more and more and more. And I warned them, and I warned them, and I warned them, and I warned them, and I warned them. But hey, we know what we're doing. We got it all figured out, don't we? Listen, folks, I just honestly say things that most people won't say to you. And that's what it is.
Amen.
It's not really crazy. It's just things that people won't say to you. Because your average, you know, the first thing I said the fundamentals pastor will do is he'll have his wife put him through the ministry. What do I do when I do that? Brother Hildebrand, if I have my wife put me through the ministry, what would happen? And what happens to my children? And where's their mother at to care for them? So what I'm saying to God is, God, I'm going to sacrifice my children on the altar of this church. No, I'm not. I'm not doing that. Well, you'll never have that big church. I already know that. I've pretty much already come to the grips with that I'm not going to have that. I mean, I'm fine with that. In fact, I was fine with that 3 years ago. I'm fine with that. I really am. You're not going to be the king of fundamentalism. Well, I don't want to be. They don't like me. I don't know why. Don't have a clue. Listen, folks, if you don't think I love my wife, if I can do whatever she asks me to do, if I can do it for her, I do it for her. Plain and simple. And whatever sacrifice I have to make in order to keep her home with my children, I'll do it. Why? Well, most fundamentalist pastors can't say that to you because they don't do it. Or have you noticed that many of them will leave their wife at home and their children turn out right, but their people that are supporting them, they're sending their wives to work and the preacher's saying nothing about it. I can't believe you're one of those churches that say that women should stay home and raise their children. Is there somebody else that's supposed to raise them? Can you show me somewhere else in the Bible where somebody else is supposed to? Well, preacher, you just don't understand this day and age. Yes, I do understand this day and age. That's why I'm telling you. Can you show me in the Bible where someone else is supposed to raise them? Lady, you purpose this in your heart. You ask yourself this question tonight in the deep, darkest room that you have in your home when nobody's around, and you ask yourself this question. Did God give them to me or to somebody else? Am I supposed to raise them or is somebody else? Am I supposed to be the biggest influence on their life or somebody else? Do I have to answer to God for them or does the daycare? And if God gives you another answer from His, and then it matches with the Word of God, and you go through and say, yeah, it says something about daycare here. It says something about me leaving the home and doing that here. You want to know why it's not preached about? I got one word. Who knows that one word why it's not preached about? Thank you. Thank you. That's why. Money. Plain and simple. It's about money. Are you saying that people will withhold something for money? Well, yeah. I don't want to offend them. So it's about money. I don't want to mess things up for, you know, I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to tip the thing over. I want to rock it so hard it tips over, does flips in the water. Why? Because God sent us to stir things up in this world. Christ divides. Believe me, I got family mad at me right now. You know, the funny thing is, they talk behind my back all the time. But then they don't come to me and tell me. Isn't that amazing? Or why? Wonder why. The only answer I give to them is because you show me in here. And then there's nothing to talk about. If I'm wrong, please show me in here where I'm wrong. I'll get right if I'm wrong. Show me in here, though. Not your human philosophies. Not your how-to books. Not your justification of your sinful, wicked life. But show me in the Scriptures. Because you and I will justify our sins. We do that. Anyway, I'm rambling now. I'm getting off the track here. But you understand where it went. And yeah, Brother Andrew, you can edit out anything you want to. But leave the screaming in. But you might want to turn the volume down. I kind of like that screaming. I swear my eyes went cross-eyed there for a minute. But anyway. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us, Lord. I pray you'd bless the next hour. Help us understand this lesson on feminism, Lord, as we continue on with it, Lord. It's a very real battle in our churches today. And Lord, I believe you're using this church and this pulpit and this preacher to restore some biblical order that should be there, whether it's with the home, whether it's with the church, whatever the case may be. Let us all abide in the place that God gave us to abide in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.